Get breaking sports news here. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan, WFAN.
This is the new normal with the Knicks. And while the haters and the naysayers will say, what about the West? I say, what about the damn Knicks? What's up? This is EJ Stewart. Happy Memorial Day. This is EJ After Dark, rocking with you here on The Fan for the next 5 hours. And we've got a ton to get to in this show, including the very important threshold that was passed by the Knicks over the weekend. The one thing people are not getting about the Jackson Dart Abdul Carter situation. Plus, a big day from Aaron Judge and why I actually think what happened on defense was more important than offense. What? It's EJ on the Fan. Number to call in, 888-808-1019. Let's get it. Why not the damn Knicks? The Knicks continue to dominate this postseason in what has been historic fashion. They are up 3-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals over the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are on a 10-game winning streak in the playoffs. We're not talking about regular season or combined regular season and postseason. This is abnormal stuff, but this is what they are doing now. This has become the new normal. They are on a 10-game winning streak within this postseason. During that 10-game stretch, they have the highest point differential of any team over a 10-game span in NBA postseason history at plus 234. They are bludgeoning their opponents. They are moving through the Eastern Conference like knife through soft butter on a hot day in July. And yet there still remains some disrespect when the Knicks are spoken about when it comes to their championship aspirations. I don't get it. I am sick and tired of the narrative that whoever comes out of the Eastern Conference is going to be food for the winner of the Western Conference Finals between the Spurs and the Thunder. Forget that. The Knicks aren't whoever. The Knicks are the Eastern Conference. And they deserve to be treated with every bit of respect and seen as every bit the threat to win an NBA championship this year, just like the San Antonio Spurs and just like the Oklahoma City Thunder. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Lumping the Knicks with the rest of those jobbers and jabronis in the Eastern Conference is at this point utter disrespect. These are teams that have come up small throughout the entire playoffs. These are the teams that for so many folks and so many doubters were said to be the real threats to come out of the East and the real threats who were supposed to take down the Knicks on their quest to trying to get to their first NBA championship since 1999. The darlings of the East, the Boston Celtics, who were favorites coming into this postseason. The Detroit Pistons, who were the number one seed. Both of those teams exposed. Completely exposed by teams that the Knicks have now made look like junior varsity. The Knicks can look at the likes of the Pistons, the Celtics, who couldn't even play well enough to get to matchups against the New York Knicks, or teams like the Sixers and the Cavs, who have been chewed up and spat out by New York, and say, we are not alike. And yet for so many who still don't want to trust what their eyes see, there are limitations being put on this basketball team that I do not understand. And I think sometimes it comes down to the fact that it is hard for people to contextualize history when it is unfamiliar and happening in live action. Because the reality is the dominance that you've seen from the Knicks this postseason has been every bit the same kind of or amount of dominance you've seen from the likes of the Warriors dynasty, who, by the way, are second behind the Knicks when it comes to a 10-game playoff span of a point differential, or the Spurs dynasty, who, by the way, are third behind the Knicks from 2014 when it comes to point differential over the course of a 10-game playoff span, or the likes of Kobe and Powell Lakers who aren't on that list, or the likes of the Kobe and Shaq Lakers who aren't on that list, or on the likes of the Heels with LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, all those teams. The dominance has been very reminiscent of what you've seen from some of the greatest teams of all time. I've watched NBA basketball since I was damn near 4 or 5 years old. And I remember what it was like watching Kobe and Shaq run through the Western Conference and run through the NBA Finals. I remember what it was like watching Duncan and Tony Parker run through the Western Conference. I remember what it was like to watch the Heatles, to watch Kobe and Powell, to watch the Boston Big Three. Ain't all that dissimilar from what you're seeing from the Knicks right now. The Knicks numbers stack up really favorably with all of those squads right now. But because we look at the star power, the name power, the pedigree of some of the legends that play for those teams, and they're, in many ways, a lot of their books were already written while they were putting on this dominance, right? Shaq was already one of the greatest players of all time while the Lakers were running through the Western Conference because he'd already done so much with Orlando, right? Kobe had already won 3 titles when he's running through the Western Conference with Pau Gasol. So many of these guys, you know, LeBron James already been to an NBA championship. He already won MVPs. Knicks don't have guys like that. And for that reason, I think that is part of why people still want to, I know the Knicks are doing good, but I know they're doing great. Yeah, I don't know. However, all these qualifiers, 888-808-1019. The numbers tell you one thing, but you think your eyes are telling you something else that I don't quite get. Now, I want to make one thing clear. I have no delusions of grandeur about the caliber of team the Knicks could see on the other side of this Eastern Conference final, which is all said and done, which, by the way, it will be done. The Cavaliers look absolutely cooked. We'll have plenty to talk about when it comes to breaking down how the Knicks got to this point and what to expect in Game 4. But make no mistake about it. I know who the Thunder are. The Thunder are the champs. They are really like that. The Spurs have one of the best young cores in sports and one of the most unique talents to ever play in the NBA in Victor Wembanyama. But I look at the circumstances of how this matchup may come about and some of the flaws that those teams both have. And once again, I ask the question, why not the Knicks? 888-808-1019. Let's first talk about the circumstances, which is health. The Spurs and the Thunder, if you have not watched this series, they are tied 2-2 right now, and they are in an absolute war. The first 2 games of this series were classics in Oklahoma City. There was an overtime game. There were not game winners, but you know, a game-tying 30-foot bomb. There's been physical play. And what you've seen has been a war of attrition happening on both sides. Jalen Williams, who's been dealing with a hamstring injury, he's one of the stars for the Oklahoma City Thunder. He had to come out in game 2. We have not seen him take the court since. One of their other young stars, A.J. Mitchell, did not play just last night. And then the Spurs have also had their injuries they've had to deal with. Dylan Harper had to come out of game earlier in the series. De'Aaron Fox missed 2 games in this series. As great as these teams are, as deep as these teams are, these are not teams that will come into the NBA Finals completely whole. There is no way. We know how significant hamstring injuries can be, and Jalen Williams is dealing with something that he's been bothered by all season. There's no way you're going to see a 100% Jalen Williams by the time we get to the NBA Finals, despite how much rest they may get, which right now ain't looking like quite much. De'Aaron Fox, ankle injury. He almost looked like he had to tap out of game 3. Looked good in game 4, but these are not the same teams that came into this postseason. They're not whole in any way. Meanwhile, you look on the other side with the Knicks, and because of how easy they've made these playoff games look and how their run has looked, they have not taken the same level of war of attrition. They've only had one injury, knock on wood, and that has been OG Anunoby. And with every game OG plays since he's come back, he looks better and better. 21 points the other night, 3 threes, Defense was rock solid once again. He looks like he is getting right back to the point he was at before he had all the issues with the hamstring that ended up having him miss several games in the Philly series. So right now, when it comes to, forget about what these teams have been in the regular season, both teams, 61 teams, both teams had way better regular season than the New York Knicks. The teams that you'll be seeing in the finals won't quite be the same teams that were dominating throughout the postseason. That's one step advantage for the Knicks. Then let's actually take apart both of these teams individually and let's talk about them real quick. You want to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder? I watched this game against the Spurs. They didn't look tired to you? They didn't look like a team that maybe is starting to feel the wear and tear of having gone through a full postseason last year that included 2 7-game series, one they had to win a game 7 in the NBA Finals. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, once again, couldn't even score 20 points. He is not, for when it comes to regular season, he's been automatic. He broke Wilt Chamberlain's record for how many 20-point games he has had. He doesn't look a step slow in that last game you just saw. You didn't see a team that went, at one point, they were 4 for 23 from 3. They shot 19% from the three-point line. That doesn't look like a team that has heavy legs. Doesn't look maybe a little tired to you. Look kind of tired to me. They look like they're starting to feel worse for wear for me. So when we talk about the Thunder and what to expect from them if they're able to get past their series, which is now going to go at least 6 games because they lost this game just Sunday night, you're talking about what's going to be at least two more, grueling, tough, physical games against a team that is younger than them, maybe more athletic to them, and seems to be absolutely ready and willing for the fight. Meanwhile, you look at who the Knicks are playing right now. Do the Cavs look like a team that is not in my house or 1-2-3 Cancun? I don't have a lot of faith on that other side that the Knicks are going to get great resistance from the Cleveland Cavaliers for the rest of that series, which I think will probably end, 20 hours from now? Which means the Knicks, just like the last series, could be facing a massive rest advantage that could be up to 9 days. Again. And then let's look on the flip side. Let's look at the Spurs. As good as they are, as talented as they are, you just look at some of these guys on the court. I got a kid, Carter Bryant. I look at Dylan Harper. They have kids out there. And it makes it scary because you start to feel like, man, if you don't find a way to beat this team now, there's no way this team is going anywhere. They're going to be one of the dominant teams in the NBA for the foreseeable future because their team is so young. But how many examples in NBA history do you have of a team in their first go-around going through a postseason winning an NBA championship? Doesn't happen all that often. You have Magic Johnson when he did it as he was, a 6'9 rookie with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar not able to play game 7. And, of course, he sits in the captain's chair and puts up the 40-point burger as a rookie and he wins finals MVP. One of the greatest stories in NBA history. All right, that's one. Find me the other guy. Mike, you lost first 6 playoff games. You want to talk about the Bad Boy Pistons all the times they lost to the Celtics? You want to talk about the Celtics and they first lost to Philly? You want to talk about Philly all the times they lost to Boston? Who do you want to talk about? I can give you any team throughout NBA history. The only other team I can think of is probably the Warriors, but you know what? The Warriors also had playoff losses. They lost to the Spurs. They lost to the Clippers. Most of the time, regardless of how talented you are, regardless of the great players you have, you're going to go through bumps and bruises on your way to winning a championship. You don't just show up in the NBA and start winning titles. That's not how it works. The Knicks, they've had their bumps and bruises. They've had to lose to an 8-seeded Miami Heat team when they were favored to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. They had to lose to a Pacers team in the Eastern Conference Semifinals where their whole team basically got hurt. And then the following year, losing the Eastern Conference Finals where they blow a game one. They've had what is the usual level of adversity you see from an NBA championship team when they finally get over that hump and ascend to title greatness. So, I'm sorry. I'm done with the conversation about, yeah, the Knicks are great, and yeah, they're doing well, but you know what? The West. I mean, the Thunder. I mean, the Spurs. I mean, come on. Can we really talk about this team like they're those teams? Yes, you can. They are playing better than both of those teams. No team in the NBA, and there's only three. I said there was only three left. There are still technically four, but it feels like the Cavs are not playing the caliber of basketball necessary to remain in this postseason. There are only four teams left, and there is no team playing anywhere near as good as the New York Knicks. And if you're going to call in 888-808-1019 and tell me, yeah, EJ, I love your excitement and all, but I don't know about the Spurs. I don't know about the Thunder. A, I want to hear from you because I'm ducking no smoke as always, and I'm always keeping 100, two rules on this show. But I'm challenging that like a Wemby shot at the rim. Why not? Why not look at the Knicks and say, you know what? If the Spurs have to deal with the Knicks, the Spurs are going to have problems. If the Thunder have to deal with the Knicks, Thunder are going to have problems. This is no longer the West versus East way to look at the NBA Finals anymore. This is about a dominant team that is on a historic run and finding out if those teams in the West who have now gone through a grueling series were able to step up to the plate and step up to the Knicks' level of play. That is the reality of where the Knicks stand right now. It's EJ Stewart on the Fan. Number to call in, 888-808-1019. Let's get to the phone lines here. Let's talk to Mary, who's in Brooklyn. What's up, Mary?
How's it going, EJ?
Doing great. What's happening?
So you basically took the words out of my mouth, but I do have one more thing to add to that.
Sure.
Before I do, I just want to say that tonight is one of those nights when, like, everything clicks. I'm like, the Yankees walked it off. The Mets got walked off. And one of my favorite players in Corbin Carroll, the Diamondbacks, is literally in the history books with hitting his 50th and 51st triple of his career.
Big night for you, Mary.
Yeah, and the Spurs won. And I think, like everyone else, Spurs are going to be a better matchup against the Knicks. So
We'll
let them fight out that series. But the thing I want to add is, like, that you could say, like, everybody's saying, oh, well, the Spurs and OKC, they're both insanely good teams. And the Spurs, they have Wemby, they have Castle, they have Harper. The OKC has SGA and so on. But imagine their fans right now saying, well, look at the Knicks. They have Brunson, they have Cat,
They
have Bridges, they have Hart, they have Ananobi. They have McBride off the bench, they have Alvarado off the bench, they have Shamet off the bench, and they're just so deep, and they have like a really legitimate, no matter who they face, they have a legitimate, they're a legitimate contender for the championship, and I really think they could do it this year.
Yeah, Mary, you're making great points because I think that's a great way to put it, because like when we talk about how deep the Spurs are, when we talk about how deep the Thunder are, you list off all these guys and their accomplishments and what they've done. I mean, Jalen Brunson, 3 years in a row, All-NBA team. OG Anunoby was named All-NBA second team. He's been arguably one of the best players in this postseason. You mentioned Karl-Anthony Towns, a multiple-time All-Star. Mikal Bridges, by the way, he's played in the NBA Finals. He actually has played in the NBA Finals and played well in the NBA Finals. He has experience. He's basically won pretty much since he got to the NBA. He had 1 year where the Suns were bad, and they pretty much at that point turned into one of the better teams in the NBA until he eventually got traded to Brooklyn, of course. The Knicks have guys now who have a lore of their own, Mary, and thanks so much for the phone call. That's the part of this that I think continues people have lost sight of. And that was one of the reasons why I kept telling folks who kept, you know, and I'm not going to say that I wasn't also crashing out at very moments during the season. I was as well. But there were so many times where people were ready to just throw in the towel at so many different instances when it came to this Knicks journey. And the same line I kept saying to you all is, listen, if you're scared, go to church, go to mosque, go to temple, go to whatever you worship. If you don't worship, go to the bar. Whatever you do to get yourself right, go there and let the people who understand what playoff basketball is and what championship growth is, which is it's not linear. I mean, the reality is, like, unless you're the Bulls and you're winning 72 games, or you're the Warriors winning 73 games, you know, I know they lost in the finals. Like, otherwise, for teams that are trying to get there, there's going to be heartache. That's what makes it so beautiful when you see the team playing this way. It wouldn't feel this crazy if you didn't see Haliburton shot in game one last year. It wouldn't feel this good if you didn't see OG pull his hamstring in game two when they're up 2-0 on Indiana and it looks like they're going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. It wouldn't feel as good if they didn't have the unfortunate nature of losing to an 8th seed when it looked like all things were in their favor when they played Miami a couple years ago. But you know what? When you think about the great teams that have been on these journeys, they all have those stories. Isaiah Thomas threw the ball away to Larry Bird, and they ended up losing a game they absolutely should have won. They lost that series. It cost them a chance to go to the NBA Finals. How many games did Michael Jordan have to lose just to even win a playoff game? How many disappointments did he had to have against Detroit? How many playoff disappointments did LeBron James have? All these teams have had it. We talk about the Kobe and Shaq Lakers. They didn't start in 2000. Shaq didn't show up in 2000. Kobe didn't show up in 2000. Those guys were together, playing together for 4 years. That meant Kobe Bryant shooting air balls on Utah. That meant Shaq having issues with the free throw line. Shaq not playing up to his standard, not being in the right kind of shape. But you know what? Again, all of those moments build champions. And we could talk about what these other teams have, but you know what? These guys on the Knicks have also been through experiences. They've been through journeys. They've had their own set of adversity. And we need to look at that as a strength of this team, not use it against them when we try to compare them to other squads. Let's keep the phone lines going, man. Let's go to Matt, who's in Maryland. What's up, Matt?
Wow, that was some game. And I just kind of, I'm so abused of watching the Knicks had hard losses, and even up 3-0, I'm like, all right, we still got to be humble, everybody.
You're still nervous, Matt, even up 3-0?
Yeah. Look what happened to the Yankees.
Wow, okay, that's interesting. See, I'm not a Yankee fan, so I don't live with that. So I guess that's a Knicks-Yankee fan thing. Do other Yankee fans feel that way? Is it like, I've been up 3-0 and lost? Because I'm a Mets fan, and I've had all different kinds of other heartbreaks that didn't involve a 3-0 deficit. But I don't come in here with much pressure. But you are feeling
nervous. Yeah, I hate to be Debbie Downer, but dang, man, it's just like, it's just too many years of this. So, but the thing I saw, which I don't know if you remember, the Brunson last shot of the game when they looked like the Cavaliers just quit.
Yep.
And I was like, did they just quit? Like, I would quit after playing two or three games in the park. So they just stopped. Just like I would.
Matt, you know what it looked like when you're playing online in 2K and you're beating your opponent too bad, and then all of a sudden your game just freezes and he says opponent left. Like they just turned their Xbox off or just pulled the plug. That's what it looked like. Yeah.
And then T Mac in the pregame show earlier tonight, he said they quit. They really did quit.
It was, and what's crazy about this, and it's something I think what makes this, there's so many things that make this journey so interesting, but we're just not used to the Knicks making teams show the worst of themselves. Like, I mean, what you saw from the Philadelphia 76ers and their fan base or lack thereof was the worst of the Sixers in game four.
And what you're seeing from the
Cavs in that game where it's like, everything's on the line, and this is your season. You got to send a message out to your fans trying to teach them how to be good fans before a game, which made no sense to me. Cleveland's a great sports city. They know how to be fans. It shows that Knicks are in your head, and then you play a game. Your season's on the line. You start off down 9-1. Like, are you guys awake? Do you guys know what's going on? But the fact that we don't see the Knicks do that to teams regularly, it's what makes this journey crazy.
And then Lonnie Sharma hitting all these jumpers. And I think I saw an article today, Eddie Johnson, I think he commentates for the Suns. And when he would say, when he was with the Suns, he couldn't hit a shot. And listen, the process of the NBA is it takes some guys some years to develop their shot.
Yeah.
Some people develop it early, some people develop it late. So I think he needs to be a little understanding. Like, not everybody can shoot as good as Eddie Johnson.
He was one of the best of his time. He was a microwave.
Come on, be easy. And so it was, man, it's been a process watching these guys. Just, it's like, wow. It makes me wonder about the regular season. Mm. Was Bridges playing possum throughout the year? Like,
you're onto something big there, and you're making great points and great for the great phone call, and never don't be a stranger. With Bridges, you know, I said this, you know, shout out to my dad. I said this last night. I was actually on New York Post Sports with my good friend Dexter Henry, former anchor here at WFAN, and Brian Fonseca. And my dad has said this a ton. I mentioned to him, I'll say it again. And he's not alone. A lot of Knicks fans have mentioned this. But you see the way Bridges is playing. And you see the way he played during the regular season. I'm just going to be nice and just say it's been very different. And it does make you wonder if he is the kind of player at this point in his career where he has this streak where he has played these consecutive games and that is what he cares about. And when we ask, why isn't he playing more physically defensively? Why isn't he driving more to the basket? Why is he seem to be avoiding contact? Why is he only seem to be settling for jump shots? Well, clearly he cares very much about this streak he's got going on. And you know what's a great way to not get hurt? Not driving to the basket and taking contact. Not running through screens. Not getting into guys defensively. That's a great way to get through an 82-game schedule if that is something that you care about. Now, I don't think most NBA players really do care about it, and NBA teams certainly do not. In fact, they would probably prefer that they don't play 82 games. We see how much load management has been a part of the conversation. So we're going to get more into tonight about what has happened with Mikal Bridges, because I don't think it's necessarily only the fact that he is a playoff riser, and I think it is purposeful. I think he wants, now the second year in a row, by the way, and it wasn't like last year's postseason was perfect, but think about those big games he had against Boston in game 1 and 2 last year. Think about how well he played against Detroit and some of the big shots he made in the second half of those games and those comebacks. We've seen 2 years in a row that Mikal Bridges is a pretty reliable player come playoff time. And that whatever you saw from him in the postseason, you got to take with a huge grain of salt. 888-808-1019. But no, you're not wrong, Matt. You're not the only one who's thought, what's going on here? This is not the guy I watched throughout the whole regular season. It's not. It's clearly not. The amount of layups we've just seen him take, I mean, and he's also, like, finishing through guys, too. Like, there are guys that are, like, trying, like, thinking that he's probably not going to go to the rim or thinking that simply being in the area will be enough to deter him to go for a layup, and he's just finishing through them, finishing through contact, looking for and ones. Again, this is a guy that has never seen a fadeaway jump shot he doesn't like. It's crazy. 888-808-1019 is on the call. So, is EJ Stewart on the Fan rocking with you until 5 a.m.? Of course, like I said earlier, rules are the same every time I step to the mic. Number one, I'm always going to keep it 100. Number two, I'm ducking no smoke. So if you want to get in, you want to talk Knicks, how confident are you in their chances against a Western Conference team? I say you should be taking them just as seriously to win a title as you would anybody else that's still playing in the tournament outside the Cavs, because they're a waste of time. Don't put limitations on this team anymore. It is now time for you to fully get on this bandwagon and believe the Knicks can get this done. Win their first championship for the first time since 1973. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. I want to hear from you. But, of course, it is late. It is a Memorial Day weekend. And while you may not be working because it's Memorial Day weekend, but you could be. You could be like me, my guy Alex behind the glass, grinding here, getting some money, getting some bread on a holiday weekend. But because of that, it may mean while I can talk on the radio and take phone calls, you might not be able to make a phone call, and I understand that. That's okay. There's multiple ways to interact with this show, to contribute to this show. Hit me up on social media, EJ_Stewart on X, ActionEJ on Instagram and TikTok. Hit me up. Let me know what you think about the Knicks. Let me know what you think about what's happening in New York sports. I do retweets and posts on the air. So if you want to get at me, can't get on the phone lines, okay. That's okay. Hit me up. We'll chop it up through this new thing we have that is social media, but you know what I'm talking about, and we'll get your thoughts on the air.